This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Horror in Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, November 22nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Several people have been killed and dozens of others injured after an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade in a suburb of Milwaukee.
Authorities in California are looking for as many as 80 people involved in a flash mob robbery at a Nordstrom in Walnut Creek.
There are signs the supply chain crunch may be receding. Here are the latest evidence.
And how airlines are trying to stop fighting on planes.
One positive thing is that passengers are getting more used to the new procedures that are in place and needing to wear a mask, and flight attendants are skilled at de-escalating situations, but they are still happening.
Allison Poley at the Wall Street Journal on the sharp rise in unruly passenger behavior. At least five people have been killed and more than 40 injured after an SUV barreled through police barricades and ran down people in a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It happened yesterday afternoon at around 4:30 local time. Police say they've recovered the vehicle and a person of interest is in custody. City Police Chief Daniel Thompson said an officer fired shots at the vehicle in an attempt to stop the carnage. Another video on social media appeared to show police firing on the vehicle as it crashed through street barriers. Mark Leipsky was a witness.
I've never seen anything like this before in my life and never want to see it again. It was just horrific. Watching the poor kids who were on the back of that truck scream for their mom and dad.
Waukesha is a suburb of 70,000 people, about 20 miles west of Milwaukee. The Christmas parade is in its 58th year. The Waukesha School District canceled classes for today. Police in California are looking for dozens of people who they said swarmed into a Bay Area Nordstrom department store in a coordinated robbery. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Authorities believe as many as 80 people were involved Saturday night, grabbing what they could carry and fleeing in cars they had parked outside. It happened in Walnut Creek, about 15 miles east of Oakland. The robbery followed another brazen mob heist a night earlier in San Francisco's Union Square, about 25 miles to the west. San Francisco has been struggling with a surge in crime this year. In the Central District, for example, larceny and theft incidents are up almost 88%, and overall crime is up almost 52%. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Police said the suspects assaulted two Nordstrom employees in that Saturday night incident and pepper sprayed another. They said they're reviewing surveillance footage in an effort to identify them. Two of 17 members of a missionary group kidnapped last month in Haiti have been freed and are safe. In a press release, Christian Aid Ministries, an Ohio-based church group, said yesterday it cannot provide or confirm the names of those released, the reasons for the release, where they're from, or their location. The group released a recorded message.
Only limited information can be provided, but we are able to report that the two hostages who were released are safe, in good spirits, and being cared for.
Kidnappings took place October 16th, days after a team of U.S. officials visited the impoverished nation and pledged support for its anti-gang measures. There were five children in the group of 16 U.S. citizens and one Canadian. A Haitian gang named 400 Mowozo claimed responsibility for the kidnappings. A United Nations group says at least 328 kidnapping victims were reported to Haiti's national police in the first 8 months of this year, compared with a total of 234 for all of 2020. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. 5 months after President Biden met with Russian President Vladimir Putin and urged him to take a stand against ransomware attacks emanating from his country, lawmakers in the U.S. are beginning to chafe at what they view as a lack of results from the administration's efforts to confront Russia. It's a story by Maggie Miller, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. Maggie, what do we have?
Of course, at that summit, you know, President Biden made cybersecurity kind of the key area for them to discuss, I mean, among others. But, you know, he gave President Putin a list of 16 critical infrastructure entities that were completely off limits to attack unless Russia wanted retaliation of some form from the U.S. And he really pushed Russia to not only, you know, take steps to curb some of the Russian government affiliated hacking activities, but also to crack down on hackers who, you know, may not be government sponsored, but were being allowed to operate from within Russia's borders. And, you know, there was a lot of coverage about this summit at the time, and there has been ongoing dialogue between U.S. and Russian officials since. But I think what became clear this week on Capitol Hill is that lawmakers and on both sides of the aisle are starting to get a little bit anxious, starting to get a little itchy about, you know, when we're going to see more tangible results from a lot of this engagement. And I think that they're really pushing for numbers in terms of, you know, are we going to see a drop off in these ransomware attacks that are linked to Russia? You know, when is this going to stop? And I think that, you know, while the Biden administration has been taking a plethora of steps, some public, some not, to try to stand up to Russia on this, I think lawmakers, they want a little bit more public results.
All right. So, as part of all this, too, you said we've gotten some conflicting information from top security officials in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I, you know, mentioned, lawmakers are getting anxious about this. So basically every time that any of the Biden administration top cybersecurity officials have appeared in public in recent weeks, they've been consistently asked, you know, has there been a decrease, increase, any change in, you know, ransomware attacks linked to Russia? And some of these officials have been giving slightly differing messages. You know, we saw the White House National Cybersecurity Coordinator Chris Inglis say earlier this month that there had been a discernible decrease in these attacks. But then you saw Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco say that there had not been much of a change. And you've seen other officials say there hasn't been much of a change as well. And I think that when you have these mixed messages, you know, even if there is a change, it can also, you know, heighten anxieties, not only for lawmakers, but for Americans. But I think what's important to discuss here is that, and these officials have made this point, is that currently the federal government has a very limited window into the amount of attacks on private sector companies, such as Colonial Pipeline. And that's because there's no federal regulation requiring these companies currently to report if they've been attacked to the federal government. And that's something that Congress is working on. And it's certainly something the Biden administration is pushing for.
We're speaking with Maggie Miller, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called "Lawmakers Increasingly Anxious About U.S. Efforts Against Russian Hackers." There's a general understanding, right, that if President Putin wanted to, he could snap his fingers and make this stop.
Oh, yes. And that's another issue that lawmakers have, you know, taken issue with is that, yes, I mean, President Putin has quite a different regime in place in Russia than, you know, we have in the U.S. And that gives him quite a bit more control over the activities of some of these certainly government backed hackers. But even those who, as I mentioned, are not connected to the government, but are being allowed to, you know, tacitly allowed to carry out these malicious activities against, you know, not just U.S. companies, but companies in countries around the world. And I think it is, you know, I think a tangible and salient point that lawmakers are making, the fact that, okay, yes, maybe there's been some incremental progress on urging the Russian government to take steps, but it is true that if Putin truly wanted to stop this activity, it would have been stopped. And, you know, I think that in itself is telling.
Yeah. So what is it that the U.S. does in response right now? Do we do similar stuff to them? Ransomware attacks?
No, or at least certainly not publicized. But no, I think we operate on a different scale in terms of cybersecurity. But I know that the, you know, Biden administration has been very strong in making the point that they have been taking steps against the Russian government. You know, there was, you know, President Biden levied sanctions on Russia for in connection to the SolarWinds attack earlier this year. The Justice Department has rolled out indictments against a number of Russian or Russian-affiliated hackers in recent months. The Treasury Department has issued sanctions as well in this area. And there, as I mentioned, are ongoing conversations and diplomatic channels. So Russia is certainly under quite a bit of political pressure from the U.S. And now not just the U.S., but countries around the world. You know, the White House a couple weeks ago led a ransomware summit where they brought together officials from around 30 countries just to discuss how to cut down on these ransomware attacks, and especially ransomware attacks stemming from nations like Russia that, you know, aren't maybe taking the steps they need to try to stop some of these attacks in their tracks.
Thanks, Maggie. Maggie Miller, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Five people have died and more than 40 were injured when an SUV drove down a holiday parade route in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin yesterday afternoon. Area hospitals reported treating more than two dozen people from the parade. Mayor Sean Riley.
I'm deeply saddened to know that so many in our community went to a parade but ended up dealing with injury and heartache.
Law enforcement officials say a person of interest who may have been a significant criminal history is being questioned. Investigators are probing the possibility whoever was behind the wheel had been involved in an earlier incident involving a knife and was fleeing when the vehicle reached the parade.
Number two.
Two of 17 members of a missionary group who were kidnapped more than a month ago have been freed in Haiti and are safe, in good spirits, and being cared for. Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries put out a recorded message.
While we rejoice at this release, our hearts are with the 15 people who are still being held.
The missionaries were kidnapped by a gang on October 16th.
Number three.
The International Olympic Committee says missing Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai told Olympic officials in a video call from Beijing that she was safe and well after she reappeared in public at a youth tournament in Beijing. The 30-minute call came amid growing global alarm over Peng after she accused a former leading Communist Party official of sexual assault. The Women's Tennis Association says the call does not address or alleviate its concerns about Peng's well-being. After the House passed President Biden's $1.7 trillion social safety net and climate bill on Friday, it heads to the Senate, which is expected to make some changes. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We're in very good shape to get 50 votes. We have to make sure, but I think we're in good shape here.
Schumer says he wants the Senate to pass the measure by Christmas. If you're itching to break out the Christmas lights before you even carve the Thanksgiving turkey, go ahead. Psychologists say it might make you happier. What exactly about Christmas decorations trigger happy hormones? Well, for starters, experts say the bright lights and colors increase energy levels. There's also the nostalgia factor, since for many, Christmas is a magical time of joy and evokes memories of childhood innocence.
My daughter is militant about no Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We went to Hobby Lobby, I think, last Thursday. Took advantage of some discounted stuff. It's still in the bags.
Okay.
I said, but it's going to be warm this weekend. You know, I'm going to take advantage because she does all the decorating.
All right.
No interest.
Well, her rules then. If she does it, she can do it.
That's partly true. Holiday parties are back, making it the perfect time to do a reset and upgrade your look. The Black Friday event from Indochino offers their lowest prices of the year on suits, shirts, outerwear, and more. Even lower if you use the code Gordon at Indochino.com. You can go to a showroom or measure yourself online at Indochino.com. That's what I did. The chinos I customized are the best fitting pair of pants I've ever worn, a feeling you cannot get with pants off the rack. Indochino suits start at just $299. Shirts start at $45 with all customizations included. Get away from your video call style and back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th to the 29th. Save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code Gordon at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Indochino.com, promo code Gordon. Again, Indochino.com, promo code Gordon.
Thanks for being with us. The holiday travel season beginning this week will test whether airlines, regulators, and airports have done enough to combat a sharp rise in unruly passenger behavior. There have been 5,100 reports
of unruly passengers this year, and more than 970 investigations have been initiated. In 2019, for comparison, the FAA initiated fewer than 150 probes into passenger behavior. More from Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Allison, what are we looking at?
Incidents have increased over the course of 2021, but in recent weeks, they have gone down a little bit, which is a good sign heading into the holidays. So the overall trend is going slightly down. So one positive thing is that passengers are getting more used to the new procedures that are in place and needing to wear a mask, and flight attendants are skilled at de-escalating situations, but they are still happening.
So the unruly passenger behavior, or the fights on airplanes, mostly about masks and usually involving alcohol? Would that be accurate or not necessarily?
That's correct. A lot of them can start as mask issues, but then spiral into something else. A lot of the incidents do involve alcohol. So this past summer, the FAA asked airports to ease up on the sales of to-go alcoholic drinks, and some airlines suspended alcohol sales in the coach cabins to avoid contributing more to these issues.
Wow. Did that work?
Some airports are still selling the to-go alcoholic drinks, so it's not like they've all universally just stopped. So it remains to be seen the effects of that.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Airplane Fights Are Surging. The industry wants to stop them before the holidays. All right. So as Allison clarified, they have gone down slightly in the past couple of weeks. But he said these incidents can have a significant impact on airline staff and travelers alike. Explain that.
Yeah, that's correct. So flight attendants are on the front lines in planes dealing with these issues, and the problem might be worse than the numbers suggest, and that's according to Sarah Nelson. She's president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, and she said a lot of incidents where passengers are rude, dismissive, or even make outright racist comments don't get reported, so the numbers aren't telling the entire story here.
Boy. The most recent one, right? Southwest Airlines passenger allegedly punches a flight attendant?
It was an operations agent, so not a flight attendant. So the passenger went onto the plane, got in an altercation, a verbal altercation with someone on the plane, was asked to deplane, and then allegedly punched an operations agent outside of the plane area. And so that operations agent was transported to a hospital last weekend, according to Dallas police. So the tension is high going into the holiday. There could be some bad weather brewing in the Northeast. People who haven't flown in a while might be boarding planes for Thanksgiving travel. They might be a little bit worried about what will happen, whether their flight will be canceled or there could be an unruly passenger incident on the plane. But airlines have said that they're prepared with staffing to meet the occasion. So we'll hope everything goes well.
Thanks, Allison. Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending part of your Monday with us. November 22nd, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines, at least five people dead, dozens injured after an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Police in the Bay Area looking for dozens of people who took part in the flash mob robberies over the weekend. Two kidnapped missionaries have been released in Haiti. Evidence the supply chain crunch is easing. Gas is over $6 a gallon in a California town adjacent to Yosemite. Chargers over the Steelers in Sunday Night Football. And the college basketball player making news for his actions off the court. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. It's Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year with Black Friday early access deals on Windows 11 PCs. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. The giant rectangular shipping container, once an ordinary cog in the global supply chain, has become a coveted an expensive lifeline for the nation's retailers and manufacturers. They are in such short supply that companies are having to rethink how they stock shelves, placing a premium on smaller, more compact merchandise. Here's Hal from Abba Badarai, reporter at The Washington Post. Abba, what are you hearing?
Yeah, well, you know, Gordon, for months we've been hearing about a supply chain crisis. And one of the fundamental factors there is the shortage of shipping containers, which, of course, are the large metal boxes that actually transport things across the ocean and often just, you know, kind of pop onto a truck and then go to a warehouse. So during the pandemic, we've seen all sorts of blockages and backups, and that's really tied up millions of these shipping containers that are sitting in ports, in warehouses, just waiting to be unloaded. That's creating real difficulties throughout the supply chain, and it's getting really difficult for retailers and manufacturers to find containers to actually ship their products over right now.
Wow. All right. So what does that mean in terms of the way these things are packed these days?
Well, everyone's having to get more strategic. The cost of these containers has risen tenfold. Companies are now paying $20,000, sometimes even close to $30,000 per container to bring it over the ocean. So they have to be very strategic about what they pack in. Many of them spend weeks or months trying to find one container. And so it becomes a very precious commodity. Many of the retailers I talked to said that they're prioritizing smaller items so they can pack in, you know, 80,000 Pop-It fidget toys versus maybe many fewer of the larger toys. It just kind of ends up working out better that way because they're having to pay so much for shipping.
Wow. How about container makers? What about the companies that produce these things? Where are they on this?
Well, many of these companies are based in China. They're expected to churn out more than 6 million containers this year, but again, there are supply chain constraints getting in the way there as well. There are shortages of metals. There aren't enough people to weld these actual containers together. So there are all these different points sort of tripping up the process.
We're speaking with Abba Badarai, national retail reporter at The Washington Post. She's got a good story called Fewer Boots, More Slippers, How a Shortage of Shipping Containers is Changing What Shows Up on Shelves. You opened your story talking about what IKEA is doing. Explain that.
Yeah, so IKEA is an interesting example because, you know, they're sort of known for flat packing furniture into really slim boxes that you can fit in your car trunk. And now they're sort of trying to do that same thing with shipping containers. They've actually bought their own containers, which is pretty unusual for a retailer to do. And they are prioritizing for the holidays things like placemats and bed sheets, napkins, you know, stuff they can really cram in there versus desks and office chairs and other things that were big sellers before.
Wow. All right. So you referenced earlier it could cost upwards of $20,000 to $30,000 to ship in a container. Does that mean whether you have kind of one giant thing in there versus a million things or a full container versus a half container? Like, where are we on that?
Yep. It's a flat rate. And wow. So you can fit maybe, you know, three sedans, or you can fit 500 Christmas trees or 40,000 pairs of pajamas. So it becomes a real calculation for retailers.
Right. And that is up from $2,000. I mean, how much is that price up by?
Yeah, from about $2,000 a year ago. So we're seeing low 20s, but then a lot of times these containers go in auction. So they just, companies just keep outbidding one another.
It's incredible. What else stood out to you, Abba, as you were pulling this all together?
You know, I think it's just really interesting that companies are having to react in very, very quick and nimble ways. And a lot of toy makers in particular told me that this is creating sort of this huge sea change in the industry. They've always been about bigger packaging, sort of having the flashiest box on the shelf because they have, you know, a limited amount of time to catch a child's attention. And now the priority is on shrinking those packages. So they're shrinking by 20 or 30% and they're losing their sort of in-store billboard in a sense, but it's what they have to do to get products in.
Jeez. Explain too, just an example of kind of positioning things inside a container and what Stanley Black & Decker is doing.
Yeah, so Stanley Black & Decker is an interesting company. They're sort of going for much smaller items. They're bringing over batteries instead of saws. Like the premium is just on small goods that are compact, lightweight if possible, and it helps if they're pricey goods. So you can maybe raise the price of, you know, you can add in a cost for shipping without making it seem astronomical.
Thanks, Abba. Abba Batarai, reporter at The Washington Post. By the way, The Wall Street Journal says global supply chain woes are beginning to recede. It says in Asia, COVID-related factory closures, energy shortages, and port capacity limits have eased in recent weeks. In the U.S., major retailers say they have imported most of what they need for the holidays. And the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, when there were 71 container ships anchored offshore November 19th, that number is down from a peak of 86 ships just 3 days before.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's no secret how glued we are to our phones these days, and walking in a crowded city can be an exercise in avoiding all the people walking with their heads down. Now, a video has gone viral as the perfect illustration of our fascination with small screens. The clip posted to TikTok shows the moment a man sat down at the wrong table at a diner because he was absorbed in his phone. The video, uploaded by a user named Tyler, starts by showing his friend sitting at a booth in the restaurant, staring at his phone across from a perfect stranger. Text overlaying the clip reads, "When you come back from the bathroom and never look up."
Jeez.
After realizing he's in the wrong booth and giggling in embarrassment, the friend then moves tables before turning to the stranger and apologizing. The clip's been watched over 17 million times.
I'm just curious, do we see what the stranger's reaction was?
Didn't move at all.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. Just kind of sat there looking at this kid who sat down, uh-huh. And then he gets up, you know, he laughs, gets up, moves to the other table, and the person didn't move their head or say anything. They were just, I don't know, they taking a little nap. No, I don't know what happened exactly, but I guess they were just stunned in stunned disbelief.
Yeah, or maybe not even so much stunned these days.
Yeah, who knows?
Somebody is staring at their phone, not knowing where they're going.
Great story to tell their friends
later.
And it's coming up on prime snowplow season, so folks in Vermont have turned to school kids to name their fleet of snow-pushing vehicles. And we know that adults can't be trusted to name things, but the kids seem to have come up with a few creative names. The State Transportation Department released a full list of names on their website, and they include Jennifer Snowpez, Captain Snowpants, Snowbuster, Snow Big Deal, Burrito, and Snowbegone Kenobi. But of course, because kids often follow the example of adults, there's also a Plowy McPlowface.
Oh, of course.
I mean, there had to be.
Yeah.
Your dad needed to get one in there. Ha ha ha.
That's funny. It's good little way to get the kids involved. We like
yes,
that.
Yes. And I guess all the schools that participated got a visit from the plows that they named.
Oh.
So the plows would show up and,
cool.
I don't know, they'd cheer them on.
Excellent. Social media delight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. If you have home internet and didn't buy your modem or modem router device, you're likely paying a monthly rental fee to your internet provider. These fees can add up quickly, especially if you've been with the same company for years. Companies typically charge customers $10 to $15 a month to use their devices. The Motley Fool says instead of paying this fee, shop for a compatible modem or modem router device. Some providers make it easy on their websites. Additionally, when shopping online, many products list compatible internet providers to make buying the correct device simple. Take a few moments to browse websites that sell electronic devices, and you'll see many equipment options for less than $100. Regardless of how you switch your equipment, though, you'll want to contact your internet provider and let them know you're no longer using their rented device. This way, they can inform you how to return the device and stop charging the monthly fee. 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A joyous scene of marching bands and children dancing in Santa hats and waving pom-poms turned deadly as an SUV sped through barricades and into a Christmas parade in suburban Milwaukee, killing at least 5 people and injuring more than 40 others. Angelito Tenorio, a West Allis alderman, describes what he saw in Waukesha.
The people on the ground looked like they weren't moving. There were some looked like maybe family members or friends attending to them and just like crying, just like screaming and crying.
Police say a person of interest is in custody but gave no details about the person or any possible motive.
Number two.
Attorneys are scheduled to give closing arguments today in the murder trial of 3 men charged in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, whose death became part of a broader reckoning on racial injustice and the criminal legal system. Prosecutors and defense attorneys are expected to spend hours making their final cases.
Number three.
All adults in the U.S. are now eligible to receive Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccine boosters after the CDC authorized the shots for the general public on Friday. The move allows an extra dose of protection for tens of millions of fully vaccinated people as cases climb and public officials worry the nation could face another surge during the winter. The CDC also says people over the age of 50 should get booster shots, a stronger recommendation for that age group than before. Austria went into a nationwide lockdown today in a desperate effort to contain spiraling coronavirus infections. The lockdown in the Alpine nation comes as average daily deaths have tripled in recent weeks, and some hospitals have warned that their intensive care units are reaching capacity. The lockdown will last at least 10 days, but could extend to 20. Austria will introduce a vaccine mandate as of February 1st. BTS had a huge night at last night's American Music Awards. The boy band from South Korea ended the show performing their AMA-winning hit Butter and won every award for which they were nominated, Favorite Pop Duo or Group, Favorite Pop Song, and the coveted Artist of the Year Award.
Nobody could have ever bet on the odds of us standing here receiving this award. Except y'all, ARMY, except y'all.
Taylor Swift broke her own record when she won Favorite Female Pop Artist for the 7th time.
You have any BTS stuff on your workout playlist?
No, I don't.
Me either. No. All right. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. A Wichita State University men's basketball player has been the talk on Twitter for his efforts off the court. Dexter Dennis, a junior guard, had 13 points after his team defeated Tarleton State last Tuesday. However, what's catching everyone's attention are his actions 30 minutes past the final buzzer. Instead of going home, Mr. Dennis from Baker, Louisiana, went into the stands and started to help staff clean up Cook Arena. It was a humble move given that Mr. Dennis earlier that night moved into the top 10 all-time for career three-pointers in Shocker history. A video of him picking up trash was tweeted that night. Tens of thousands watched the video. One commenter wrote, quote, "This young man is a heck of a player, but he is also a better person. Makes you proud to be a Shocker." It's not clear what will happen at the next home game, which is Sunday, December 5th against Kansas State. Wichita State University Facilities Director David Gomez said it can take up to 3 hours after every game to clean the arena, and to see a student-athlete stepping up to help with that job is inspiring. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.